I want to make sure that if I've got Joe Boone, are you on the line?
Yes.
There you are. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you very much, Joe. This is a personal guy that I was talking about earlier in the program. We're talking about the United States Coast Guard during World War II. And Joe was a crew member of the LST 884. And another member of that crew happened to be my father, Cliff Throneberry, or better known as Bill, during World War II. And, Joe, I wanted to just ask you a little bit if you could tell us about your activities during the invasions of Iwo Jima and Okinawa.
All right. Our first action was at Iwo Jima. I believe it was February the 18th, 1945. We left the Marshall Islands, headed to Iwo Jima. We were loaded with Seabees and all their heavy equipment. Their objective was to repair and rebuild two or three landing strips on Iwo Jima as they were able to take control of that property. There'd be an emergency landing place for B-29s coming from Japan, and had to have some place of emergency to land because they couldn't get all the way back to Saipan and Guam. And we were there for 2 weeks. We got banged up a little bit and had to go from there to Saipan for repairs. And from Saipan, we loaded up and were instructed to go to Okinawa and to become part of a diversionary force. Now, the Battle of Iwo Jima was probably one of the most difficult battles of the war. And one of the big problems there was the volcanic ice on the shore. It was not sand. And when we went into the beach, we dropped an anchor about 50, 75 yards out, stern anchor, to help pull us off the beach if we need to be pulled off. But there, we had to keep the engine one-third speed ahead to stay on. It was a terrible place to have to make a landing, but we did. Anyway, going to Okinawa, we left from Saipan and headed for the southern tip of Okinawa, where we were to back at diversionary activity.
But, Joe, just let me interrupt for a second. Could you describe how big an LST is and actually what it does, how many people did it carry on board?
Sure. An LST is larger than most people realize. I think it's a small boat, but it's actually a 367, 68-foot landing craft that has two front, large front doors that open up and a ramp drops down just as they hit the beach. And if it's a good landing on the beach, we can get it right up, get the Marines or Seabees, whoever we're carrying, right up to where they can walk out off of the ramp onto dry land. And we had a crew of, I think, 119 sailors and officers on our LST, but that would vary at times depending on what your destination was, what you're carrying. The LST is also a multi-purpose vessel. Sometimes they use them in emergency hospitals. Sometimes they use them to carry prisoners back and forth, so on.
Okay. Or
in our case, at Iwo Jima, we had to go out one time and pick up about, I don't know how many hundred tons of ammunition because the Marines were getting short on the front lines. So it was probably the workhorse of the war as far as invasion were concerned.
It certainly sounds like it. Let me take you up to Okinawa. We've got about a minute, and I'm going to have to take a break. But can you tell me what happened to the LST 884 as you were going into Okinawa?
All right. D-Day, April 1st, 1945, happened to be Easter Sunday also. We headed in about 5:30 in the morning with our 300 Marines and all their equipment. And we got a message that enemy planes were in the area. So about that time, three of them came around the corner of the convoy we were in. First two coming in got shot down. And the third one, we hit as it was coming at us. It was making a suicide dive.
Okay, I got a break right there. We got a suicide dive. We'll be right back after this message. Come back to Veterans Radio.
Jerry Lilly & Associates is now Sperry Van Ness Lilly & Associates, the newest Michigan affiliate of a leader in the commercial real estate industry, Sperry Van Ness. More than 800 Sperry Van Ness advisors in 136 markets sold nearly $11 billion in commercial real estate last year. That was done by putting the client's interest first, thereby generating maximum return for every property. When we list a property, we immediately place it on 6 internet commercial listing services and email it to 40,000 prospective buyers and 60,000 commercial brokers. We offer to split the commission 50-50. That means your interests, not ours, are placed first. To learn more, call Sperry Van Ness Lilly & Associates Commercial Realtors at 800-345-6694. That's 800-345-6694. Be advised, there is a difference.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
And we're back on Veterans Radio, and we're talking with members of the Coast Guard and their involvement in World War II. And right now we've been talking to Joe Boone, who served on LST 884. And we were just, before we took the break, he was telling us how a Japanese kamikaze pilot was heading directly at them. Joe, can you finish that up?
Sure. As I say, the first two planes coming in were shot down by perhaps other ships. We don't know yet that. But the third plane came right straight at us about 15 feet, 30 feet off the water. And about 50 to 75 yards out, we hit him, and he was on fire, but he kept coming. And he hit us broadside on the port side just forward of the superstructure. And the plane had enough speed and force to it. The engine of it ended up going through two sleeping compartments and on into the tank deck. And he ignited all the fuel and ammunition that we had, and we had hundreds of tons of it on there. But it seemed to go off all at one time. And the deck underneath your feet, topside, was popping up everywhere. So finally, after about 10 minutes, the skipper decided that it's too dangerous for us to stay on, so we abandoned ship in the East China Sea. And our crew were being picked up by other ships, and so were the Marines. I think the total count on casualties was, the final count was 50 Marines, and we lost only one crew member, but a few of them were injured. And we abandoned the ship and were picked up by many other ships, and it took us about 4 to 6 weeks to get everybody back together to get back to Pearl Harbor for reassignment. And but it was a hectic time in the water. We had very shark-infested waters, and also we were concerned about enemy planes overhead coming down and scraping us. But we got back together again and got back to Pearl Harbor just about the time war ended. And then we took reassignments, and most of us went out on the east of the North Atlantic, and we were scattered all over the Pacific.
Well, Joe, I want to thank you very much for sharing that story with us. My addition, I guess, could be that my father was a chief motors mate. I don't know all of the ranks in the Coast Guard, but he was one of the ones that got knocked into the water with you, and he went back on board, I guess, to help some people to get off or to find out what they could do, and he was awarded the Bronze Star for that, and so I'm very proud of that, of course. And he also never told me, but another member of your crew I was talking to, when you were put into dry dock before you got back to Pearl Harbor, you had to watch out for the Japanese, I don't know what you call them, underwater demolition people that were coming out and attaching mines to the size of the ships.
Yeah, all the snipers.
Right.
The one man we lost was shot by snipers in the water, and they had a second one, and the first one died instantly. The second one shot through both arms, and we transported him back to the hospital, safe where he eventually ended up back in the States.
Wow.
And I have a lot of material on that, and as much as your dad's on that ship, I will send you a package.
I can hardly wait, John. I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm going to let you go right now.